Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We're going through the Song of Solomon today. Song of Solomon, Chapter 3. That's the chapter we will cover on today's broadcast. So get your Bible and open it up to the Song of Solomon, Chapter 3. Remember, you can study all of the Bible with me, just as we're going to do today, using my audio Bible messages at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, and that is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. So check it out. Study from Genesis through Revelation, 4 series, verse by verse, at your pace, at your convenience. Again, that's at thebibleversebyverse.com. And Father, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Song of Solomon 3, verse 1. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. So the woman in this story is searching for the man that she loves. And that would be, in reality, historically, King Solomon. And she's having a hard time finding him, but she continues to search. And remember, this entire song, the Song of Solomon, is, yes, it is historical. It's also poetic. And so it is a picture of our relationship as Christians with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are blessed that Jesus seeks us just as God sought after Adam after he sinned. But we must respond to his call by seeking him as well, just as this woman was seeking, and she wouldn't quit. She was seeking for the man that she loved. God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. We got to mean business with God. It's not easy to maintain a close walk with the Lord. You got to do it with all your heart. You got to confess sin the moment you commit them. You got to get back on track. You got to start doing it. You got to be diligent to read the word, to study the word, to pray. Verse 3, I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. She looked, but she could not find, so she just kept looking. Kept looking everywhere. She did not quit. Sometimes it seems as if God is nowhere to be found, but his true people continue to seek him. They don't give up on Jesus. Verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? So this woman's love for man is so strong that she assumes everybody else, including the watchman, knows who she's looking for without her even mentioning his name. And the watchman is probably thinking, what are you talking about, lady? Who are you talking about, lady? Don't be surprised if others, even professing Christians, do not have the same interest in Jesus and his word that you do. I know in my case, right from the very start, when I was saved at age 25, I had an unquenchable love for Jesus and his word. And being a new Christian, I didn't understand why everyone who called themselves a Christian wasn't like me. I just assumed they were. And somehow, throughout my life, I have always plodded my way through the masses of lukewarm Christians until I find those who really love Jesus and really loved his word enough to enjoy talking about him And those are the people that I've latched on to through all the years. Those are the people that I am the closest to, that I have fond memories of being around. For it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. So she found him, and she's not going to let him go no matter what. It was too long and too difficult to search of a search to let him slip away. So she's hanging on tight. And this reminds me of the apostles who Jesus asked, are you going to walk away from me as well? Remember that? He preached that sermon and 6,000 people left him. Everybody left except the apostles. And Jesus looked at them and said, you guys going to leave too? Remember their answer? Peter answered, where would we go, Lord? You're the only one who has the words of life. No, we're sticking to you. We're not going anywhere. Some people who call themselves Christians get frustrated because they don't like something that the Bible says. And I emphasize the fact that they call themselves Christians. They get frustrated. They don't like something that the Bible says. I don't understand that. To be frank with you, I don't understand that. I have never had that attitude. Well, yeah, some parts of the Bible are difficult, but I accept them as the Word of God, and because I'm saved, I certainly am not going to get frustrated over them. I accept the fact that God and Jesus, both are the same, by the way, are smarter than me, and they know what they're doing. And if I have to endure something that isn't my first choice, well, big deal. Do it, Murat. But I have known Christians who don't like something that the Bible says, so they walk away from Jesus just like that. Bang. I've known people like that. And I would tell them right to their face, you fool. You may not like everything that God says. It might not sit well with you. Well, join the crowd. Who cares? So what? Just remember, God is God and Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the only way to avoid hell, you know. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven, you know. And so you walk away from him because you don't like something that's clearly taught in the Word of God. Well, you're going to like hell a whole lot less. 5. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose, by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. She's watching out for him. Maybe she's watching out for herself a little bit too by keeping the other ladies at a distance. But let's give her the benefit of the doubt and say she's watching out for him. Let's do that. And I say that because we know that she loves him. And when you love someone, you want them to be blessed, and you want to protect them too. And Jesus loves us, and that's why he protects us. When I say the us, I say Christians, truly born again Christians. God says, no evil shall befall you, no plague shall come near your tent. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near unto you. God protects us. And we want to protect him also in the sense of maintaining a good Christian testimony so that we do nothing to harm his reputation in the eyes of others. A good Christian, a Christian who is truly saved, does not want to misrepresent Jesus Christ in a negative way. 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? It's talking about the shepherd now. It's talking about Solomon in real life. And in verses 6 through 11, we see Solomon's procession to Jerusalem from Shunem, which is where the woman in our story was from. So look at verse 7. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. 60 powerful men surrounded Solomon as his bodyguards. Verse 8. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. Solomon, at least at the beginning, was probably the greatest king in all of the earth, and certainly Israel was the greatest kingdom at that time. And yet he still had to be guarded by these skilled soldiers. The Bible says the strong man keeps his house. There is evil in this world, as you know. And if the good are not strong, then the evil will take over. Evil must be kept in check, or they will overrun the world. And the only thing that evil people understand is power, is a powerful opposition. They'll back down because they love themselves. But that's the only thing that they respect. You can't talk and reason with an evil person any more than you can talk and reason with Satan. They understand one thing, power. Hitler understood one thing, power. And if Europe would have exercised it early in his reign, in Hitler's reign, when he started to move against his neighbors, he would have backed down. But they didn't because they were cowardly. A strong man keeps their house. 9. King Solomon made himself a chariot of wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Well, Solomon rode in the Rolls Royce of chariots, even a gold-plated Rolls Royce. I mean, that's just stupid. He did start out as a good king. He was God-focused, and God blessed him financially, materially. But, you know, eventually that materialistic attitude really took control of him in every aspect of his life. He started overtaxing the people to pay for his expensive habits, and that led to the downfall and the split in the kingdom of Israel. Verse 11. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him on the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Solomon looked pretty impressive. There was a lot of pomp and ceremony. And again, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the honor that he should receive from all people, and the honor that he will receive from everyone on Judgment Day. Never forget that the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now, some are going to confess him as Lord and bow their knees right before they're thrown into the lake of fire for rejecting him as Lord and Savior during their life. But they will bow, and they will give him the honor that he has coming as Almighty God. Next time, Solomon chapter 4. Remember, study the whole Bible with me at thebibleversebyverse.com. And if you would like to be a part of this ministry, you can be by praying for me and praying for God's word. And also, when you take a break from studying at thebibleversebyverse.com, go to the front page, click the donate button, and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.